Joy Peterson. I am taping an interview on November 15, 1983 in Mary Lee Younger's living room. Mary Lee, do I have your permission to tape this interview?
Yes.
Would you please tell us your name and spell it for the tape recorder?
Yes, my name is Mary, that's M-A-R-Y, Lee, L-double-E, Younger, Y-O-U-N-G-E-R.
And would you please tell us your address?
My address is 2229 Bradford Drive. That's Louisville, Kentucky.
And that's 40218.
Yes.
And we're in Jefferson County.
Right.
Would you please tell us your husband's name and spell it for us? Spell his name.
Yes. His name is Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Madison, Younger.
Thank you. What does your husband do?
He's a CPA and he works for the state auditor. That's with the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
And are you employed outside the home?
I teach quilting part-time.
And where do you teach?
At American Accents.
How long have you been doing that?
Since January of this year, so approximately 11 months.
Do you have any children?
I have one child, a boy who is 2.
And his name?
Alex Miles.
Thank you. You're living on Bradford Drive now. Where did you live before you lived here?
Before we bought this house, we owned a house on Norris Place, which is also in Louisville, Kentucky.
How long ago was that?
It's been 4 years since we moved here, and we lived there for 2 years.
Have you lived in Louisville all your married life?
Yes and no. We were married while we were living in Atlanta, and 6 months later we moved back to Louisville. Since then we've been in Louisville.
Your husband's from Louisville?
Yes, he's from Louisville.
Where do your parents live?
My parents live here in Louisville, in the Highlands area, and so do Alan's parents.
And what does your father do?
My father's retired. He was a research chemist with Joseph E. Seagrams and Sons.
And your parents' names?
Jacob and Crystal Steimel.
And we'd like to have your mother's maiden name, please.
Her maiden name was Ray, R-A-Y.
And Steimel, would you spell that, please?
Yes, S-T-E-I-M-E-L.
Thank you. What is your religious preference?
Right now I have none. I was raised a Catholic and my husband was raised Lutheran, and we had all intentions. We said when we were going to have kids that we would find a church and raise him up Christian, because we felt like we got a lot out of it, but something we haven't gotten done yet.
And how old are you?
I'm 35.
And your birth date?
January 23rd, 1948.
What school did you attend?
High school?
Well, all of the schools. Why don't we start right down at grade school?
I went to St. Stephen's Elementary. That was here in Louisville. Assumption High School. Then I went to the University of Louisville.
What was the highest level that you attained in your education?
I have a Bachelor of Arts degree from U of L.
When did you learn to quilt?
It's been about 10 years ago. I started on an old quilt top that I bought at an antique store, and I had been interested in making quilts and learning how to quilt, and I found some friends who were also interested, and so we put this quilt in a frame and we get together once a week and quilt on it.
Oh, was this a group that had already been quilting, or was this just...
No, I was the one who kind of got everybody together.
Uh-huh. Who were some of the people? Do you remember some of the names?
Oh, yeah, there were three friends of mine, we were friends all the way through high school and college, and were roommates after college. It's Denise Furnish, Peggy Carum, and Betty Ann. Well, she's now Betty Ann Alford. They weren't, a couple of them were married at that time. And it was something we did to get together and, you know, see each other.
How long did that group stay together for quilting?
Through like one winter, I would say.
Do they still quilt?
No. Denise works on quilts. She takes old quilts and dyes them and paints on them and really creates some wonderful works of art. She may do some actual quilting, but she does some sort of types of quilt where she's using dryer lint and a type of vinyl, clear vinyl. She's experimented a lot. She's has been an art student. She has a BFA, and so she works kind of along the lines of quilts, but you know, doesn't make traditional quilts.
But she's still doing it.
Yes. Uh huh.
That was Denise Furnish.
Furnish. She had one of her pieces was in the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society's Contemporary Quilt Show.
At Lexington,
in the, spring,
in the
yes,
horse park.
Uh-huh,
that's where
right.
I heard about that.
Uh-huh.
The lint from the, somebody was telling me up there that somebody used lint from a dryer.
Well, I don't think that piece was a, that was, the piece that was in that show was one of the old quilts. It was black and gold and had little bells sewn onto it so that it would hang free, and as it moved, it would kind of, the bells would tinkle.
Okay. Well, someplace I came across that.
Someone
lint.
Else in the quilt world are making dryer lint quilts too. I don't think Denise is, you know, an original with that, but she's a wonderfully creative person.
Well, when they say dryer lint, do they use it just for the batting, the stuffing, or are they actually doing some?
What Denise has done is, she likes Maytag, I think is the brand name, dryer lint, because it comes out in a circle, and then she's, I think she's done one where she's folded it then in quarters, and she has a fan. Just like in a grandmother's fan, you know, quilt. And she can sandwich this between two layers of clear vinyl, you know, and stitch around it and have the fan shape. So, you know, I haven't seen anything else that she's done with her dryer lint, you know, but that's the type of thing she'll do with it.
You feel like you were self-taught, or is there someone that really taught you?
Oh, I'm definitely self-taught. That group who would meet and quilt, we quilted with our thread doubled because we didn't know any better.
Like sewing a button on.
We didn't have, I don't think we hit our knots either. I've always meant to go back and look at that quilt and see if our knots, we may have learned eventually how to go through a seam and do that. But it was early in the quilting sort of rebirth, and there weren't a lot of books out. And
Now, what year was that?
Oh, that's what I have to go back and think. I can't remember. I remember what apartment I was living in. And I'd have to work backwards and try to figure out what year that is. I'd like to work back from the year we were married, 1977. It was probably 73 or 74.
It was just the beginning of quilts of being popular again.
Right.
Now, did you keep that quilt?
Yes, uh-huh.
And you still have it?
I still have it. It has never been finished. Well, actually, I did end up bringing the backing over and binding the edges, but it's not quilted all the way to the very edges because before it was finished, I found out that we were doing it wrong. Also, not realizing about seam allowances being under there, we were going close to our seam lines, and the pattern is a very strange one with narrow strips, and we were outlining each of these narrow strips, so there was quite a bit of quilting. I didn't want to finish doing it the way we had started it. So it's together as a quilt that's sort of around the edges. There are still places that haven't been quilted. If it'll ever get quilted, I'm not sure.
Not high on your priority list.
No, no.
Well, other than that quilt, what was your first quilt that you worked on, or the next quilt?
Well, the first quilt that I made the top, was a bow tie quilt. And it was from one of the books that I was able to find. I found the pattern, and the instructions in the book only had you make a template for your cut size. You marked your cut pieces, and then they told you to eyeball your quarter inch. So that's the way I did it, and the quilts didn't come out very accurately. And I ended up tying it rather than quilting it. But it's a real bright, bright green, and then a lot of black prints. Green prints
it.
And black prints and a real bright green solid, yes. It's a quilt I always take on picnics. And you could spot it miles away.
Did anyone in your family quilt?
My great-grandmother did, but I never knew her really. My parents are both from Kansas and moved here when my dad was employed by Seagram's. My grandmother didn't quilt. She was a school teacher, and my mother never did. But my great-grandmother, on my mother's side, was evidently a very good quilter. But I just met her once when I was a child, and that was when she was very ill, not quilting anymore.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any of her work?
I have a quilt that she made the blocks. And then my grandmother and my mother decided, this was about 1974-75 again, to set those blocks together. So my grandmother came for about a month-long visit, and they put the top together. Then the three of us worked on quilting it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got that quilt, which four generations
mm-hmm.
on my mother's side have worked on. And that's the only thing I have that has any work of my great-grandmother's. Her quilts went to another daughter of hers who lives out in Idaho somewhere and has kept all of them, And whenever my mother is asked about them or her mother is asked about them, she's not telling anything about
them. What's the pattern of this particular one?
It's a... It has a lot of names. Crown of Thorns, that's what I call it.
Mm-hmm. Have there been periods since you started quilting in the early 70s? Have there been any periods since then that you did not quilt?
There were probably periods, yeah, when I wasn't quilting. I think I always kept my interest, and through the years I bought old quilts. And occasionally I'd be making baby quilts or working on small projects, but compared to what I do now, since I'm not working at home, I devote so many hours in a week to quilting that
mm-hmm.
I feel like for years I must have done nothing. But I always kept that interest in it.
Mm-hmm. How much time do you spend quilting?
It varies. I try to set aside my son's nap time as my time to work on the projects, the things that I want to do. Try to get things around the house done while he's still up. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. I would say I probably do a good 15 hours maybe in a week. It depends. Sometimes now he's gotten real good about playing on his own. I can go in and sit at the sewing machine and work in the mornings or do other things and tell him that I'm busy and he can play on his own. He's two. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten much better about that.
Where do you quilt?
Well, as far as actually quilting, I use a hoop, so I quilt everywhere. I love hoops because I can take them, around,
mm-hmm.
living room, bedroom. I have my bedroom set up as my sewing area. And that's something I've just done recently. My husband put up some shelves, and I have my materials out, and my bookshelf is in there now. And I've got a long work table with my sewing machine on it, so I can leave it out, and I don't have to put it away. It's wonderful.
Right. Do you quilt in the evening with TV?
Well, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I do quilt in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do, if we're going to have the TV on, I usually have something that I'm trying to do, but we don't watch a lot of TV.
How long do you quilt at a time?
I'll quilt for hours if I can. I spent this past 4th of July weekend, we were spending with my parents at their country house. And because Alex had cousins and to play with and grandparents to watch him, I took a small quilt tub and finished it that weekend because I could get up early in the morning and I just quilted all day long. And it was wonderful. I guess the answer is as long as I can.
Yeah. Where do you get your quilt design?
I think I try to look at the quilt top to decide. Let it to kind of tell me what I want to quilt. I do have books, you know, of quilt designs that I'll look through, you know, if I am looking for anything in particular. But, you know, usually I look at the quilt to sort of see what I want to do with it.
Where do you get your patterns for making the top?
Everywhere. I've got dozens of books. You know, a lot of times if I've seen a picture of a pattern, I'll draft it, you know, myself.
What patterns do you like to make most?
I don't know that I have any particular favorite.
What makes a good quilt?
I like to see precision in piecing. You know, I'd love to see a quilt that's done well and, of course, beautifully quilted. I guess when I think of good quilt, I think of those type of standards, you know. But also what I like to see in a quilt, I mean, I can go to a quilt show and see lots of quilts that are probably beautiful done, but they don't speak anything to me, you know. I'm gravitated toward, you know, color and design, you know. I love traditional patterns, you know, if they're done in colors or something. I'm real fond of blue and white quilts. And especially a lot of old quilts and mellow fabrics and things. And then I like original designs too. You know, I'm real excited about what's being done, you know, in contemporary quilt making. So, you know, that kind of what is a good quilt, I guess, you know, that I want something, you know, that's done well, that somebody's really thought about too, that it's not just a repeat of something that I've seen a lot before, you know, that somebody's put something individual into it.
Why do you make quilts?
Because I want to. Like, why do people climb mountains and all of the
well,
other
Well, they wonder if this is the same reason as you originally quilted. Has there been any difference between the time you started quilting and the time and now as to your reason for quilting?
No, I didn't start out particularly, oh, I want to make quilts for beds. It's just I loved quilts. I loved old quilts. And I was real excited. The first person that I ever saw who was somebody nowadays making a quilt. When I saw that and realized that I could do it, you know, it just was really exciting. I've always been interested in the arts, and I've had training in a number of different things. But working with fabric was something I enjoyed much more than anything else, any other kind of medium. And I've just kept that. You know, I just mm-hmm. love playing around with the colors and the actual fabric itself.
What was your background in art? What has been your interest?
Well,
in
when I went to UofL, I took a lot of, well, besides art history, you know, I took a number of different art courses. I took a textile design course with Alma Lesh.
Did you?
Uh-huh, yeah. The Louisville School of the Art used to be on UofL's campus or right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to take, you know, courses there. So I took pottery and I took basic design and I took, you know, I've had sketching and watercolor and all sorts of classes like that. Photography.
Did you ever weave?
No, mm-mm. I took natural dyeing, and I've dyed yarns, and my mother had taught me to knit, but I've never really tried weaving.
Which do you prefer, piecing or applique?
I don't know that I really have a preference. I like applique. I'm especially excited. I've been thinking, ideas have been bouncing around in my head lately about sort of what I want to do in quilting. And one thing that I keep imagining are these quilts that are going to have these sort of freely drawn applique figures or something on them. So, you know, in one way I would say I really want to work with applique, you know. But then I've really done a lot in machine piecing lately and discovering that I can piece precisely with my machine and discovering all the possibilities of doing sort of more complicated quilt patterns that I don't think I never thought I could have done on a machine. So finding that I can do that, I'm having a lot of fun right now playing around piecing on the machine. So I'd say I don't really have a preference. Both of those things right now are things I want to work on.
Would you rather construct the top of the quilt or do the actual quilting?
I guess if I had to decide, I would choose doing the tops because there's a satisfaction of putting that all together. But I do love the quilting. There's something so soothing about quilting, you know, the rhythm of it, to sit down with it and do it, that I'd hate to have to ever give that up. But I can also see where I have so many ideas for quilts that I could produce quilt tops continuously, and some of them, you know, I wouldn't mind if I knew somebody who could quilt beautifully, you know, letting someone else quilt them. I don't have any hang-up that it has to be my work, you know. So I guess I would prefer to keep on doing tops, you know, and give up some of the quilting, but I do enjoy quilting a lot.
We were wondering about a discussion of quilting bees, quilting parties, whether you've attended any and whether you see a difference between the two, and if so, what the difference would be in your mind when people speak of these two things, quilting bees and quilting parties.
No, they don't mean anything different to me. I really haven't attended any quilting bees other than things that were sponsored by Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society, that type of, you know, get together. Something very, you know,
where
like the last year.
Works on their own project.
Uh-huh. Or the quilting bees down at the Museum of Science, History and Science, where it was open to the public and we were down there to demonstrate quilting and had people come and sit down and work on the quilt. I was down there. That, and other than getting together with my friends on those Wednesday nights, I can't really say that I've been to the quilting bee, not in the traditional sense.
Mm-hmm. What is a Kentucky quilt in your mind?
If I had to define it, I would just say made here in Kentucky. I can't tell you anything that makes it distinctive from a quilt on Mother's Day. Not, that's just, I don't know of anything.
Have you ever taught anyone to quilt, and if so, who, where?
I've taught friends how to quilt, and I am teaching beginner's classes for American Accent.
What patterns do you use when you're teaching?
We vary the patterns. Right now we're teaching Kansas Dugout, Dutchman's Puzzle, Drunkard's Path, Jacob's Ladder, and Appliqué Design, and Bright Hopes. We have six patterns, and it's six that are chosen, so they'll learn different techniques.
Do they end up with a sampler?
Yes, they put them together. They can choose to either put four of them together or six of them together, but they come up with a small sampler.
Could you tell us a little bit about how the situation is set up? How often do they meet, and how long do they meet at a time?
Okay. They meet for 6 weeks in two-hour sessions. And the first night's an introduction. I explain about making their templates and the supplies they will need, and we talk about color and fabric choice, and usually help them choose their fabric that first night. Then from then on, they're kept very busy. They come back the second week with their fabric washed and pressed and their templates made, and we talk about marking and cutting the fabric. And I explain the construction techniques for two of the blocks. And their assignment for that next week is to finish those two blocks. Then we proceed with two blocks each week, and then the fifth class, we talk about finishing the top, whatever they need to do, about setting it together, you know, then basting all the layers together and getting ready for quilting. And I usually start them on samples, practicing their quilting technique. And then the last class, check up on their progress on quilting, see what problems they may be having, and then I talk about finishing their quilt, binding the edges.
And that's all done in 6 weeks?
All done in 6 weeks.
Oh, gracious.
We keep them busy for those 6 weeks.
Do you enjoy teaching quilting?
I love it. I really, it's very satisfying.
You say you have quilt books. What ones are your favorites? Are there any that you could recommend?
I like Michael James's books. I'd say he does a lot in there as far as covering basics, plus giving you ideas, you know, experiments that you can actually do, you know, exercises to try new things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend his books. The sampler book by Diane Leone, I recommend that for my beginner students. You know, I didn't have it when I was beginning. That's the kind of book that I wish were out. But I think it's well done. It has good illustrations, which I think is important, and a clear text. Plus, it has the actual patterns for different quilt blocks and color pictures showing different ways, you know, they've been done and put together, you know, which I think is very helpful, you know, for a beginner student, rather than getting a book that's nothing but text and not any patterns,
mm-hmm.
or a book that's all patterns. I think it's good to have the text to kind of refer back to and cover over those basics again.
Well, other than Michael James' two books and a sampler book by Diane Leone,
mm-hmm.
what other books come to your mind that you yourself refer to and enjoy going back to on more than one occasion?
I guess I check Jenny Byers' books for quilt blocks. I like the books that I have that are records of contemporary quilt makers, because I like going back there and looking at their work, mainly just for inspiration, to see those kind of things that I don't get much chance to see. What other books? have I gone back to recently? I have quite a few, I'm probably saying about 40 or 50 books, but I don't know that I refer to a lot of them that often. I guess because I've known what I'm going to do, and, I know one book I do refer to a lot. That's Taking the Math Out of Patchwork Quilt. Because it just helps me in estimating yardage, bed sizes, you know, just it has a lot of information in there.
A lot of tables.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's one book that I would say I probably dig off the shelf, you know, more than any other.
What about Amish books or interest in Amish things?
Oh, I have three or four books on Amish quilts. And I usually review them.
This is side two of tape one of Joy Peterson as interviewer interviewing Mary Lee Younger on November 15th, 1983. We were discussing some of the books that Mary Lee Younger uses and the Amish books, and what was it we were talking about, Mary Lee, in your mind?
What I think I was going to say was that the books that are picture books of quilts are the ones I'll go back to most often to look at, rather than any type of text. Not that I'm not learning things all the time. I really am. That's one thing about being self-taught, is that there are areas that, you know, I haven't touched base on before. But the books I'll go, if I want to sit and look at a book, I'll go get some of Robert Bishop's books. My Amish books, I think of that way, Jonathan Holstein's book. I'll get them out and go through them just to look, you know, at those old quilts, because I do love those
quilts.
Get
some stimulation.
Yes, uh-huh. Look at them and see color combinations and things like that.
Let's discuss quilt periodicals. Which ones do you take? What benefit do you see in them? What magazines are there that you are interested in the quilting line?
I subscribe to Quilter's Newsletter. I don't know that I always get that much of a benefit out of it. I've wondered about resubscribing. It's not often that I get to travel around to see many shows, so that calendar, you know, isn't always something that I even look at, you know, to check out what's happening. Some of the articles, generally the quilts that they have designs for in there, aren't anything that appeal to me, or at least I always have enough ideas of my own things that I want to do that I don't look to it for patterns. There are some columns in there and everything that I enjoy. And yet I do feel like it's a good thing to keep up with, because a lot of times they'll do features on contemporary quilters, you know, or special techniques. They did one this year on strip piecing. Things like that I enjoy, and that's what I get out of Quilter's Newsletter. I recently subscribed to The Professional Quilter, which is, I think, going to be a very good magazine. It answers a lot of questions that I've been wondering about, as far as the fact that I earn money, not only teaching quilting, but I do quilt repair. So, you know, how much I charge for my work, and what kind of tax records I need to keep, that type of thing. Plus, you know, if I want to expand into some other area of quilting, then this magazine has a lot of interesting articles.
Is it a new periodical?
Yes, uh-huh. It just started this fall, and the second issue's just recently come out.
Do you get Lady Circle Patchwork Quilt?
I usually buy it off the newsstand, but I don't subscribe.
What about Quilter's World or Quilt Magazine?
No. I've bought individual issues at times, but no. If I tend to accumulate a lot of that stuff, I don't really use it because I usually have enough ideas of the own projects I want to do that I don't need any other patterns or, you know, the instructions that are in there or something like that. I probably would enjoy it, but it saves me some time. I don't have them. I will say, Country Living Magazine, I've probably gotten more ideas for quilts out of that magazine than some actual quilt magazine, because in each issue there are some beautiful quilts in there. Now most of we're talking, you know, old quilts, but I love seeing what's, you know, in that magazine.
What do you do with your finished quilts?
Well, if they're a bed quilt, I'll use them. If they're small wall quilts, I hang them on the wall. A lot of times they're put away. I have one quilt that I use out in the car in the summer to cover my son's car seat, because otherwise the vinyl gets so hot. So I use my quilts, I would say. I have a few quilts that are just for special. Well, I have one that's a Christmas quilt that just comes out at that time of year. You know, or I'll change quilts. I won't always have the same ones hanging up. But I generally, I'd say I use them for what I intend them.
Do you quilt for other people?
No. I make quilts for other people, especially baby quilts for friends. But I don't do quilting, you know, for other people.
You mentioned repairing quilts. Do you repair quilts for other people?
Yes. Midge Gaith, who owns American Accents, gets requests from people all the time that they have old quilts that they would like to use or they would like to hang, or the dog has chewed a hole in it and they need it mended. And she has me look at the quilts and we estimate how much time it would take and what we recommend doing. And then if a customer is agreeable, then I work on them here at home and do whatever is necessary.
How long have you been doing this?
Since the spring of this year.
Have you done any interesting ones?
Yes, I have some that are older quilts that, you know, are some really nice quilts. Right now I have a quilt top, an old applique quilt top that was never finished. There's just a few things left to do on it. It's a beautiful old quilt top. So I'm going to finish the applique and the embroidery on it, and then it'll be sent off to be quilted for the woman who owns it. I'd say the most kind of enjoyable part. I've done everything from take old quilt blocks and put them together into a quilt top to rebinding a quilt, you know, rather regular things like that. The most challenging parts are where quilts have been torn or need repair just in one area, and trying to get it, that new, the repair to blend in and fit in with the old quilt is what I enjoy the challenge of. One quilt I have now plus the first one I ever did for Midge were both damaged under the quilts by dogs. One was a hole that was just chewed right out of at one edge of the quilt. So I had to set in a whole area and kind of piece together a little, kind of change the applique and re-applique and really work some wonders, you know, and then quilt it again to get this piece to look like it wasn't a hole, you know, or a brand new place on the quilt, kind of hide this patch. And I have a quilt top now, too, that some of the scallops, a couple of those off the edge, have been torn off, and there's also another hole in the close to the edge that I have to fill in. And it's kind of like you have to experiment with different kind of fabrics, which one are going to look good, and techniques to get them to, you know, work in.
You ever have to tea-dye fabric or anything like that in order to get it look old?
I've tried that. So far, I haven't had to use any tea-dyed fabric. I'd be real careful about using anything in someone else's quilt, especially these quilts that I've repaired. People do use them beds, and they'll occasionally get washed, and I want to be sure that whatever I do will, you know, wouldn't bleed onto the rest of their work or something like that. So fortunately, with my collection of old whites and whites of different colors, I've been able to get matches.
What do you do with old quilts when they begin to wear out, and why?
Well, for my own, I don't do anything. I do this quilt repair for everybody else, but I have this old quilt here, one of the first quilts I bought, that has, you know, the batting showing through in several places. But I don't know that I'll do anything to it. I'm going to put it up for a while because it's been left on the couch and used like an afghan to cover our legs and things, and it's showing the wear, but I don't think I'll try to go back and really repair it. I have an old quilt top that the blocks are falling apart, and someday I'd like to work with those blocks and redo them into a nice quilt top, but I could do with my quilts what I do with other people, and that's use a crepoline or some kind of fabric to cover areas that are, you know, really worn like that, or replace them with patches of new fabric that would blend in. But I guess on my old quilts, I like to just leave them the way they are and let them have a rest, and if I feel like they're getting too much wear.
How do you feel about making clothing and pillows from old quilts?
I don't feel comfortable with that idea at all. I cut up an old quilt once. It was a real worn old quilt. And this was years ago, before the consciousness was ever raised about saving old quilts. And I cut it up to make Christmas wreaths out of. And I still, you know, just shudder at what I did. You know, even though it was a worn old quilt, I think now, you know, I would have valued it a lot more than I did then. So no, I don't like people cutting up old quilts.
Have you had any quilts in shows or contests?
No.
In your opinion, has there been any change in people's attitudes about quilting?
Well, from when I first got interested, there's just been a whole lot more people knowing about quilting. And a lot more appreciation, you know, for the quilt. I used to be able to go to the Goodwill stores and the Salvation Army and find quilts that were marked a dollar, you know, or even I'd go to yard sales and find quilts for $1 or $2. Now they weren't always in great shape, but you know, nowadays nobody will sell a quilt. You can never find a quilt at a, you know, thrift store or at, you know, yard sales for figures like that. So people are becoming much more aware of quilts, you know, and a lot more people have tried quilting, you know, which I appreciate.
Why do you think there's been a change in people's attitudes?
I think it's part of a general development, people getting interested in crafts and doing things in their home. You know, that a lot of the other crafts have had a rebirth, and just sort of from the 70s, kind of a feeling of wanting to do things ourselves and, you know, trying some of the traditional ways.
Can you you state what you think the value of quilting is, not the monetary value?
Well, the value to me is as a creative outlet. That's why I especially feel good when I'm working on something that's an original design. You know, or even if I'm not, I get such satisfaction out of creating something new out of something that wasn't there before. I mean, just taking material and turning it into something that's different than what it was. You know, putting it through a metamorphosis into a quilt top. You know, and just I get a lot of satisfaction out of choosing the colors and where I'm going to use them. And something that, you know, other people look at and can get appreciate, you know, and get some pleasure from looking at, you know, and I can appreciate. So I guess that's the value to me, is that it's very satisfying and it gives me an outlet for expressing myself.
What are your favorite colors to use in quilting?
I tend to either blues or browns. I just finished a log cabin quilt that are shades of brown. And I'd say the largest color sort of selection I have in my fabrics, you know, are my blues. I've got a real fascination with blue and white quilts. I've got plans for all sorts of blue and white quilts if I ever get them made. And I've got the blue material ready to go. Especially any blue fabric that looks like old blue fabric, the kind you'd see in quilts, you know, in real old quilts around 1910, in that time. You know, anything that looks like it might be a reproduction of that shade of blue, I usually buy up enough yards that I think I can make a quilt with it.
If you see a fabric like that, how many yards will you buy at one time?
Well, four or five, usually. Sometimes three, depends. Lately, as far as color goes, since this summer, I've gone on a couple of trips, one to Indianapolis and our vacation trip back to Massachusetts, when I gravitated toward the purples and the violets. And I started finding these prints, flowered prints, and solid colors that were all in that color family. And I used those fabrics in a workshop I was in recently. So I don't know what it means, but I'm finding that I like working with those purples too.
Well, tell me about this workshop. What workshop was this?
This was a four-day workshop with Nancy Halpern at Shakertown. There were about 15 people who went, and we all lived and worked together in one of the old houses at Shakertown. And Nancy Halpern, who's from Natick, Massachusetts, was our leader. And she had us work on a design of our own, you know, and then we actually started sewing it together and working on construction during
that. How did your design evolve?
Well, I worked on graph paper for a while, dividing it up and using some of the techniques she had talked about as far as coming up with a design. And I came up with one design, which was fine, and I kind of got a good idea for it, and I worked it up into a pattern for the whole quilt. But it was sort of houses, and as I had kind of arranged them, they were staggered and going up and coming down. It reminded me too much of quilts that Nancy Halpern had done. And I kind of felt like if I'd stayed at home, or if I were home on my own working on a quilt design, I would never have come up with this design, that it was influenced by, you know, seeing her work. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do something that I felt was original, And for a while, I'd been feeling like each time I tried to come up with an original design that I couldn't reach down inside and find anything. You know, that I was dry inside. You know, I'd turn on a faucet and nothing was coming out. So, especially going to this workshop, you know, I felt like, I want to get something from inside and I don't want to work on this design. And I mentioned to her that I felt like I had a Nancy Halpern design. And she says, well, I don't want you to do that, you know. So she was very good about being, you know, supportive of us doing whatever we wanted to do. Well, anyway, so I agonized over it the first night and finally, you know, I kept trying to think about different things. And the one thing I thought of were these fabrics that I had been accumulating recently. My most recent fabric purchases were all these purples and these flowered prints in shades of violet and purple. Blue-violet, really, the predominant color. I kept thinking, why did I want those fabrics? What were those fabrics telling me? And, you know, why don't I try to work with those fabrics? Because evidently there was something about them that I really liked. So I got those fabrics out and I kept looking at them and I kept trying to think, you know, how would I use them or what would I want to do with them? And what sort of things are purple? You know, what do you see in the world this color? And really the only thing that kept coming to mind were flowers. You know, violets were one thing. So I decided that I was going to try to work on a block that was the shape of a flower or showed a flower. So the next morning I got up and got back to the graph paper and kept dividing up blocks. And I decided too that to make it more interesting that I wanted to use an odd shape and either a hexagon or an octagon. So I ended up with an octagon which I divided up to try to resemble a flower. And then to do that using random pieces from all of these fabrics that I had. So that's what I did. I made my templates and cut out from each material. I'd cut out one of each shape and I'd make piles of all the little shapes I have and then just pick them out and put them all together so I'd have each flower was different. And I made 24 of these little flowers and then they're going to be set together and they have a hand-dyed background fabric and I still haven't made a decision about what borders, what I'm going to use to kind of frame the piece. It's just going to be a small wall hanging.
You say you used hand-dyed. Did you dye the fabric?
Yes, during the 4 days, one afternoon we dyed the fabric. We did a hot water dye and some cold water dyes, Procyon dyes, and that was a lot of fun. So the fabric I had was some that I had done that weekend, or that week, there at Shakertown. And it was a yellow-green sort of, sort of a yellowish green. And it's not fabric I don't think I would have ever picked out to use for a background for these purple flowers. But I had laid, when I did the first four, I had laid them down on another piece of dyed fabric that was sort of reddish brown. And it was really interesting to see these flowers on that piece. And Nancy Halpern was looking at them, you know, and she says, oh, I like that way. And then she saw the other piece of dyed fabric sitting there on top, and she picked it up, spread it out, and laid the flowers on there, and then suddenly these flowers were singing almost. And, you know, I could see that it was much more exciting on there, but it took me a while to adjust to thinking about that color. I went back and kept working on producing these 24 flowers, and I'd keep pinning them up to the wall as I'd get one done. And I had that background piece of fabric on the wall. And I'd keep looking at it, and I finally got to where I saw that, you know, really made a difference and really helped, you know, those flowers. So I feel like I learned quite a bit in that workshop. Not only did I kind of get started on something that was my own design, you know, but I learned a lot about machine piecing, for one thing, because these were complicated designs. Most machine piecing I'd ever done, I was just using the cut edge and sewing a quarter of an inch on my machine, using my presser foot as a guide. Well, these blocks, because they had set in pieces and odd angles, I had to mark a sewing line, and then pinning along that sewing line, just sew the sewing line on the machine, which is something I had never tried before. And these blocks went together so wonderfully. And I was so, you know, amazed to find out I could do a complicated kind of piecing on the machine. That I learned that, and I learned the dyeing. And the main thing was getting back in touch with, you know, something inside of me, you know, that would allow me to come up with an original design. I was beginning to feel like I'd lost it. And since then, I've just had a whole page full of ideas, you know, of original designs. So I've got the water flowing.
What was the date of this workshop?
Oh, it was the end of October, Tuesday through Friday.
Of this year?
Of this year, yeah.
1983.
Yeah.
What other workshops have you attended?
I've had a workshop with Chris Wolfenden.
Where was that?
Louisville. Yeah. Before the Louisville Quilts Project started, Katie Christofferson organized a number of workshops for the people who were going to be involved in that project to introduce them to, you know, ideas and techniques that we would be using in our project. This was to celebrate Louisville's bicentennial. We were going to go into schools or into, you know, area groups and produce quilts commemorating Louisville's history. So Chris Wolf Edmonds came and did a workshop on pictorial quilts. She's done a number of them, and so she talked about different techniques and ways of doing a pictorial quilt. Another workshop that was held was Virginia Avery came to town and did one on appliqué, which is what is usually used on a pictorial block. Then Maria McCormick Snyder was in town to do a workshop, and I don't really remember the focus of her workshop. But all these workshops were stimulating. It was fun to go and, you know, spend the day with people and, you know, get new ideas.
They were one-day affairs?
One day, uh-huh.
What about Michael James?
I was registered for Michael James' workshop, and found out my district manager was coming to town, and I had to work that day. I had to call up and cancel.
What about Nancy Crowe?
Nancy Crowe was 3 weeks after my son Alex was born, so I didn't even register. I knew that I probably wasn't going to feel like making it down there.
Have you ever traveled out of Louisville for a workshop or seminar?
Yeah, a couple of times I've gone down to the Southern Quilt Symposium, which is held each year in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I went in 1975 when the focus of the workshop was on conservation of old quilts. Then in, not this year or last year, but I guess 1981, must have been, 1982, I went down for the one that was held that year.
Are they annual affairs?
Mm-hmm. They're held in the spring, sponsored, I think, through the Hunter Museum. I think that's the name of the museum. The art museum there. Betts Ramsey is the organizer. He gets them together.
And speaking of museums, did you work at the local Natural History Museum when the Kentucky Project was being
conducted? Yes. Mm-hmm. I worked down there usually once a week helping back the quilts, getting them ready for exhibit. I also did some work on putting crepoline on the front of the quilts where they needed protection, you know, to help them withstand, you know, being on exhibit.
And what was this show about?
This was Kentucky Quilts 1800 to 1900. The quilts that were going to be on exhibit, and there were about 40, were selected over a period, I think, of about a year, several quilt days. What they wanted were quilts that they knew were made in Kentucky, and hopefully that they knew who the maker of each quilt was. So they traveled through the state, the Kentucky Quilt Project, this is, and had people bring their quilts to a certain place on certain days, and they looked at all the quilts, and they, you know, select which quilts they wanted. And eventually, it was 40 or 44 of them were chosen for the exhibit in Louisville. They were the best quilts, maybe the most exciting quilts, and also the ones that we knew the most about.
What are your favorite fabrics to use for quilts?
Well, I like 100% cotton. I just love the way they handle, you know, and I don't like the feel of blend. I guess one reason why I like working with textiles is because of the feel. There's something so slippery about, you know, synthetic that I don't like. I've seen a lot of quilts, you know, beautiful quilts that are done in things like silks and corduroys and materials like that.
This is Joy Peterson. I'm recording in Mary Lee Younger's living room for the Quilters on File project for Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society. This is November 15th, 1983. This is the second tape of the interview, the first side of the second tape. Mary Lee, could you expand on your thoughts about the use of fabrics in your quilts? How do you feel about the use of polyester fabrics?
I don't generally use them. I think they're fine. You know, sometimes you can find a particular color only in a blend. I guess with Bears downtown, they always have a wonderful selection of, you know, like solid colors that I can usually find what I want, you know, and still get it in a cotton. I just like the feel of cotton so much more that I usually try to find something in cotton to use.
What kind of thread do you use?
I use a cotton-covered polyester if I'm piecing on a machine, because that's what Michael James recommended. Then for quilting or piecing or applique, I try to use a 100% cotton thread.
And your needles?
I use a number 10 for quilting. Then I'll use my betweens also for piecing, you know, but sometimes I'll use an 8 or a 9 or my 10, you know, when I'm hand piecing.
Is there a different needle used for applique?
No, I use the same needle for either piecing or applique.
What batting do you like to use?
I usually just use Stearns & Foster Mountain Mist batting. Their polyester batting. I've bought a roll of their cotton batting, and I have it in a quilt right now, but I haven't done enough quilting on it, you know, to tell what it's going to be like.
I gather you used a floor frame when you first started, but you're now using a hoop. What do you find to be the advantage of using a hoop?
I think the biggest thing I think of is that I can always quilt in a comfortable direction. I can quilt, turn the hoop so that, you know, I never have to quilt away from myself. Also the fact that it's portable. You know, I can take it from room to room and quilt.
How have the materials used in quilting changed?
Well, things are much more available now than they were when I started. It was very hard to find 100% cotton fabrics, to find small prints, just to find quilting thread, batting, you know, a lot of the things that you use. I have one quilt top that my husband and I started the winter we were married, and it's 1,000 pyramids made up of triangular shapes. And I wanted a scrap bag quilt look, so I went around to the fabric stores buying a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and now it's still unquilted because the fabrics in it are just sort of awful. You just couldn't find nice things back then. You know, there were a lot of maybe the calicos out, you know, the real bright, flowery little prints, but nothing, you know, real subtle or the colors that I liked.
Does your husband have any input in your quilts?
He's very supportive of my quilting. He's usually agreeable to, you know, anything that I want to do. Helped, you know, clear up the bedroom so that I'd have room for my sewing area. He put up my shelves. He babysits my son while I go off to classes and teach classes, and does whatever else he can. He takes it seriously and feels it's wonderful what I do.
Do you ever launder your quilts, new or old?
Yes, I always like to wash my quilts when I'm finished with them. For one thing, I love the way they wrinkle and kind of shrink up, and they just, I think, look a lot better once they've been washed.
How do you launder them?
I put them in my machine if it's a new quilt, you know, and usually use cold water and just a gentle cycle. You know, if it's a small enough piece that I can do in my machine. Now, if it's an old quilt, you know, something especially heavy that I think I'll tear the threads on, you know, I'll kind of fold it and fill a tub full of water and kind of squeeze water through it and change the water frequently and then let them dry flat.
If it's a new quilt, do you put it in the dryer?
I don't have a dryer, so I don't have to make that choice.
Do you put over lines?
No. Now, unless it's a very small piece, I've put it over a line. But generally, that'll, you know, if I try to pin it up or anything like that, it'll pull at those corners. So I usually spread it out on sheets or blankets.
What makes a good quilt stitch and why?
What I tell my students about a good quilting stitch is that it's even. The length of the stitch you see on top is the same as the space between the stitches. And ideally, the stitch on the back should be the same length, and that's a lot harder to achieve. I think why is even stitches are just so much more beautiful than something that's very jagged, where you have long and short, and if it's uneven, it just doesn't flow as well, and it kind of breaks up rather than, you know, you can see the pattern of these beautiful lines. The thing about the stitch on the back being a longer stitch, I think, is important, because too often I see people who are stitching and they're only picking up the tiniest little thread on the back. And I just feel like there's too much danger that that's not going to hold at all. And I especially try to make that clear to my students, because I don't want them to quilt a whole quilt that way and then after the second washing or even much handling, find all their quilting has come off of the back. So I really try to tell them not to worry about trying to get it small, because nobody, very few people, start out with small quilting stitches. I mean, mine were long when I started, and it just feels awkward in the beginning. And the main thing to do is to get the rhythm and learn to relax and manipulate your needle and try to get them even. And make sure you are getting enough of that back that it's going to, you know, hold and do the job the quilting stitch is supposed to do, which is securely hold those layers together.
How many quilts do you on your needle before you pull it all the way through?
I generally do about three or four. I find there's a real difference, depending on the fabric I use, how tiny I can quilt. If I'm quilting very tiny stitches, then I'll get more stitches on my needle. Then, of course, I'm doing a curve, you know, I can't take very many stitches without, you know, pulling my needle.
You usually have a little back stitch in between your three or four quilt stitches, or do you just quilt right on?
No, I don't. I quilt right on.
If you ever embroider on your quilt, do you use cross stitch, crewel, or another type?
I haven't. I'm trying to think if I've ever embroidered on a quilt. Well, there's a baby quilt I'm working on right now that I'll be doing some embroidery, like just satin stitch, that type of thing. If you mean about marking your name on a quilt, I've usually just put a separate label on rather than actually sewing onto the quilt.
Are your labels signed in any particular patented way or any?
No, not all my quilts are even signed.
Do you believe in signing and dating quilts?
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. I just haven't done it in all my quilts. I guess I'm more interested in the making of the quilts and everything, and then once they're done, I want to hang them up if that's what they want, and just haven't ever taken the time to, you know, I'm usually in a hurry to get them done, and when they're done, I don't want to stop and spend any more time putting that in.
What is your favorite quilt pattern?
I don't know that I have a favorite quilt pattern. Nothing that I can think of. No.
Do you belong to any quilters organization?
Yes. I belong to the Louisville Nimble Thimbles, which is a local quilting group. We have about 60 to 75 members, it varies, and we meet twice a month. I don't always make it to every meeting. Then I belong with the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society, which is more interested in educational and historical sort of preservation of, you know, Kentucky quilts. And I served on their board last year and am still a member, and work on the contest committee this year. And I do belong to the National Quilting Association. That membership comes along with my Louisville Nimble Thimbles membership.
The National Quilters Association had a show at Bell Buckle, Tennessee. Did you go this year?
No. Uh-uh.
Have you been to any of their shows?
I've never been to an NQA show. I thought I was going to go to Bell Buckle this year, that I would go with my husband and we would take a weekend trip down there. But I think the time came and we were preparing to go on our vacation in a couple weeks. I can't really remember why, but we decided not to go.
Have you gone to the Quilt National, which is up in Ohio?
Yes. This year was the first time that, you know, I've gotten to go to that show. And I thought it was wonderful. It was really exciting to see. And it's a wonderful setting, you know, this big old building. And the quilts, they have lots of room for the quilts to hang. And you can walk along and, you know, see the quilts. And I just, very stimulating to see the work that's being done. You know, a variety of styles, and it's just a very exciting show.
This was the third year it's been held?
The third year. It started 1979, and they had one in 1981. So this is the
third. And it's always held in the
Dairy Barn in Athens, Ohio.
which is an historic, in the historic registry, I think National Registry.
I think I might have read that.
Do you have any other old quilts that you own that you would like to tell us about?
No, I have quite a few old quilts that I have bought at, you know, all sorts of different sources, you know, that are fairly worn, but interesting old patterns, but things I just couldn't pass up, you know, at a dollar, or, you know, when they were really cheap. I know one that comes to mind is a quilt top I have that was given to me by my mother-in-law. And it came down from a relative. My husband's family had made it as a little girl when she was 5 years old. This was 1875, was the year it was made. And she was living with the younger family. Her mother was a younger. And when her mother died, she came to live with her grandmother younger. And an aunt there of hers taught her how to quilt, and she made this quilt top, and then she and her father moved away, and the quilt top was left behind, and has come down in the family, and now I have it, and it's really wonderful to look at. It's just a 9-patch, but it's set together on the diagonal with these zigzag borders between it, and it's wonderful brown, old brown fabrics, you know, from the 1870s.
What was her name?
I could look that up, but I can't. It doesn't come to me right now.
Will you plan to quilt it someday?
I'm not sure. I would love to have it where I could see it. Have it on view. But I'm not sure if that's the right thing to do with a quilt top that old. Right now I'm on a waiting list at the Merrimack Valley Textile Museum to have this quilt top an appraisal done by them. What they'll do is look at it and tell me what they think the best course of action is. And then if I agree, they have the facilities for, you know, special cleaning and everything for the quilt top. Originally, I guess I had thought that I would quilt it, you know, and then maybe hang it so that I could really enjoy it. But I'm just not sure because of the wonderful old fabrics in it and the damage that having it exposed, you know, and on exhibit at any something like that would, what might happen to it, if that's the best thing for it or not. So I haven't made any decision yet.
What's the name of this organization and where is it?
The Merrimack Valley Textile Museum. It's in North Andover, Massachusetts.
You will have to ship it to them?
Yes,
They'll
probably
let you know when your name comes up.
Yes, it'll probably not be until like February of 84.
What can you tell me about quilters in your family that we have not already discussed?
There's nothing else I can think of. My great-grandmother Smith is the only one I know of who made quilts. I said my grandmother never did, nor my mother. And on my father's side, I've never heard anything about any of my relations on his side being quilt makers.
Do you have any future projects you can think of that we might put on the tape?
No, I have a lot of ideas for things. I never know how they'll work out, and a lot of times I have those list of ideas, and some of them come to fruition, and a lot of them don't. I keep a notebook with, you know, ideas, and then if I actually plan out the quilt, these are some things that are even just traditional quilts. You know, I love playing around with designing them and figuring everything out. So I have a whole notebook full of ideas and projects. Right now, I guess the most important thing are, well, I just finished a log cabin quilt top. I'm going to be quilting it. That's going to be for our bed. Then the other thing is the small quilt top that I started in Nancy Halpern's workshop. I want to finish that and decide on what borders to use on that. So it kind of has priority right now as far as what I'm thinking about.
I wonder if you would share with us a little bit about your personal situation as far as your health is concerned.
Well, I have rheumatoid arthritis, which hasn't really bothered me until just September of this year. When I was in college, I guess I was age 20, was when I first started being bothered by it. I had my knee filled with fluid, and I'd start going to my family physician, and he was convinced it was just I'd injured my knee sometime. And I told him, no, I don't remember ever injuring my knee. But from him, I went to an orthopedic surgeon who operated on it, and then when that didn't do any good, then they finally sent me to a specialist who diagnosed it as rheumatoid arthritis, and I got started on a treatment for that, which I guess I stayed on for 2 or 3 years, and not being bothered by it anymore, I quit taking my medicine, and I guess it had gone into remission. So for about 10 years, I had no problems with it at all until this fall. And while I was gone on vacation, my knee filled with fluid again, and I had to have it drained when I came back. And then 2 more times this fall, I had to have my knee drained. So far, though, it's just really been in my right knee. It scares me sometimes. I think, ooh, what happens someday if I have it in my hands and I can never quilt anymore? And I think I want to hurry up and make all the quilts I ever want to make right now. And I'm not going to give anybody else an ounce of my time because I'm going to do it all for me. But like I said, I've never really been bothered with it, in any other joints. But one job I had where I was typing quite a bit, my fingers would ache at the end of the day. But it certainly hasn't kept me from doing any quilting so far.
The only other note that I have before we close is when we were discussing quilters of national repute that have come to Louisville, I don't believe we mentioned Jenny Beyer, and I wondered if she was part of your
experience. To Jenny Beyer's workshops. I went to all of the ones that were offered, and she was here. There was a Thursday afternoon color, and all day Friday, and an all day Saturday workshop.
And the last time at the Nimble Thimbles meeting, we were taught tandem piecing, and I wondered if you had used that technique.
Yes, I had a quilt block in mind. When they showed us that and wanted us to come back with a quilt block, I knew just what I wanted to do, a pine tree block. Because teaching my Amish class, I had done 2 14-inch samplers, as a demonstration for my students, and I'd done them in red and green and a little bit of brown. Well, I thought it'd be wonderful for pillows at Christmas time, and so I decided I'm going to do a pine tree using that tandem piecing technique. So I just this weekend tried the technique the way it was taught at Nimble Thimbles, and did not have it work at all. That was using the template with the little triangles joined together. They did not come out square, and they weren't all an accurate size. So I went back to my books. Mary Ellen Hopkins has a description in her book that shows you how to mark a grid on your fabric, and then this grid is your cutting lines, and then you sew 1/4 inch to each side of the diagonal lines. So last night, yesterday, I did that, and they turned out perfectly. So I finished my block last night, but I found that grid system worked a lot better than the using my templates, because I got accurate pieces.
I understand there's going to be three other things taught. Have you had anything to do with any of them? First one you might discuss would be shadow trapunto.
I haven't tried any of that. When I was at the last Southern Quilt Symposium in Chattanooga, one of my afternoon workshops was with Marjorie Puckett, who's done a book on that, and she was showing us some things she was doing, you know, that afternoon. She had a skirt front that was beautiful because it was going to be sort of an off-white, and she had used pinks and other shades underneath, which were quite bright, but with the overlay of the crepe or the thinner white material, it came off as a very soft, pretty effect. You know, and then the quilting she was adding mm-hmm. is going to make a beautiful garment.
What about the reverse applique?
I've tried a little bit of reverse applique. I haven't done a whole lot of it.
And the stained glass technique?
I've never tried stained glass technique either.
And Seminole quilting?
I've done a little bit of Seminole quilting. That's one thing that I've bought a book on that I want to play around with a lot more. Especially the way that Yvonne Porcella uses it to make her garment. I have two of her books on pieced clothing. And she uses a lot of that, you know, strip and cut and sew and recut and, you know, sewing them together to create new pieces of fabric, which then she uses, you know, on vests and, you know, other garments. I saw her on one of the quilting shows that were shown on the PBS television station, and it was just so wonderful to watch her work and talk about. She showed cutting the strips with a rotary cutting cutter and the mat, which I have, and I found her a lot of fun to just cut up those strips real quickly. That's what I did when I made my log cabin quilt. You know, and then to sew them together and, like I said, cut and re-sew them. So that's something I want to try to play around with a lot more.
I can hear Alex is up, and I think we're through with our regular questions, but before we close, is there anything further you want to put on the tape?
Not that I can think of right now.
We certainly thank you.
Appreciate
you doing this for us.